Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate agents for Chicago real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host, and we have a really fantastic interview with Nick Liebert coming up in just a few. Before we do, I wanted to, as I always do when I start the show, say thank you. Our numbers continue to grow. We are now going to cross over 5,000 subscribers here by the end of the month. So thank you in advance for passing this show along to other brokers in your office or that you meet out in the field that you think could benefit from listening to top producers share their secrets of how they built their business. Also, if you are a lender or an attorney or have a business that promotes to realtors, you can advertise on our show and sponsor an episode. So if you're interested in getting in front of 5,000 realtor ears for an episode, you can do that. You can reach out to us at our website, keepingitrealpod.com, or on Facebook. And lastly, what questions would you like to have answered by top producers? Send us your questions in addition to the people you feel we should be talking to and interviewing for future episodes. But let us know exactly what you want to hear. Maybe it's a specific topic. If so, we can go out and find somebody who's a specialist in that area and bring them into the show. So definitely don't be shy. Send us your requests on how to make the show even better and more useful for you. And now, on to our interview with Nick Liebert. Okay, today on the show, we have Nick Liebert. Nick has dedicated his real estate career to empowering lives through real estate. His passion for finding his clients, the ideal home or investment property has manifested itself in a rave reviews from his many hundreds of past clients. His depth of nearly two decades of industry experience has made him a sought-after sales coach, speaking in front of thousands of real estate agents. I have seen Nick speak. He's great. He has also appeared on nearly every major TV network, including multiple stints on HGTV staple House Hunters. Nick owns and operates Exit Realty's third largest office in America and is the franchise's number two agent here in Illinois. Nick's learning-based philosophy led to an undergraduate and law degrees from Valparaiso. Nick is also a certified international property specialist and certified luxury home marketing specialist. Nick's personal real estate success, sales success, lands him on the Chicago Association of Realtors top producer list basically every single year. And for the past 6 years in a row, he's been named a five-star real estate agent by Chicago Agent Magazine. He's also started a second company, Nick Liebert Development, which is focused on revitalizing urban properties and beautifying neighborhoods. Based in part on these ventures, CS Magazine recently named Nick to their real estate visionaries list for the third year in a row. Nick is honored to be currently serving on the Illinois Realtors Board of Directors and is always ready to engage new connections and mutual growth opportunities. Welcome, Nick. We're so excited to have you.
Well, it's awesome to be here. I thank you guys for the opportunity. And I think this podcast idea for realtors is amazing. Just kind of bridging everybody together and getting ideas of best practices and stuff. So kudos on the idea.
Oh, well, it's funny. I had the idea about 5 years ago and I just never did it. So finally I decided it was worth trying. And I was just talking to, I interviewed someone else earlier this morning and I said, you know, our first episode, and we only got about 50 listens that first week or two. And I thought, oh, maybe people aren't interested. And thankfully it's grown from there, but it seems to be resonating. But I always say it's not because of my sparkling, shining personality. It's, of course, because we feature people like you. So can you tell us a little bit about how you started in real estate?
Absolutely. So I started in real estate. First of all, this is basically all I've ever done as an adult. I was in high school and my mom and my grandfather both had always, you know, said it was a good thing to buy real estate. I would not call them professional real estate investors by any means, but they did own property and from time to time they would sell it. You know, again, by no means on a huge scale, but my mom had a little rental house. I remember there was a real estate agent that drove a big car, put a sign in the yard. About 3 weeks later, the property sold. My mom said, do you want to go to the closing with me? Saw this lady again. She rolls in with a huge coat, big car again, gets a check. And I'm like, wow, that seems really easy. Little did I know that, you know, obviously real estate is not easy at all. And, you know, while the ceiling is, there is no ceiling, there's also very concrete floors, I say, no money if you're not doing the right thing. So that's, you know, I got my start in college. Having this idea that I was going to make a ton of money, it would be a great thing to do part time, and that when I was done with college, I'd be actually a TV reporter, and I would forget about this whole real estate thing. Flash forward almost 20 years later, and I'm still doing it, and it's my passion, and I love it. And I've seen, you know, the great highs of a wonderful year, and I've seen the very low lows of no money too. So it's been an interesting ride, and I know a lot of the listeners can appreciate that I've also seen the highs and lows.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of yours, and I want to give you a compliment of something I saw that you did recently. It was in the last maybe 6 months. I went to a YPN event down at Manny's, the monthly meetings that they have, and I know you're very, very present, and I know you've served it with YPN, which is Young Professionals Network, if anyone isn't a member. You don't have to be young to join, of course, but it's an awesome organization. I know you do a lot with them. But Nick stood up, and I don't know if you were sponsoring the meeting or if you were just talking, but I thought you did something that I've never really seen anyone else do, and maybe other people do it, but you were the first person I've seen to do it, and I've never seen anyone do it since. Nick stood up and talked about his training program for his brokers, and he got specific for a few minutes about what they do, and he said, by the way, you don't have to be a member of our team to take advantage of our training. Like, anyone is welcome. And I thought, you know, what an awesome example of giving back. And I know that is really important to you, how much you've given. You know, you serve on boards, you're very involved in the community. But I just wanted to say, like, that is really impressive that you're, you know, I don't think most firms would have a lot of that same policy. And I just thought that was really a cool thing to offer.
Thank you. You know, that's, I think, education and coaching, not just training, but coaching, has really been the hallmark of what we're trying to build at Exit Strategy. And what I've noticed is that it seems like in the industry, there's such a closed-minded attitude about, well, if you're not at my brokerage, I'm not going to show you what I'm doing. And sometimes even within a brokerage, if you're not sitting at my desk or on my team, I'm not going to show you what I'm doing. And I'm kind of like, my attitude is the more the merrier. It's the law of attraction. I think if you see people winning and doing well and sharing, you want to be a part of that. If you see people closed off and, you know, this is my cheese, get away from it, you're not going to want to be a part of that either. And that formula for us has been really successful. When I started my office, we had 8 agents and really, quite frankly, not a lot to offer those agents that were there. And sure, every year now, you know, we have over 170 agents. And our big thing is, you know, I just want to share what I know and have top agents share what they know. And for me, myself, I'm a student of the industry. I love listening to other people as much as I love sharing what I think I know and don't know. And it's just, again, that formula has really been successful for us. So, you know, if there's anybody out there that has no interest in joining Exit, doesn't like the logo or the colors, or doesn't like me, feel free to still come to our stuff. We're not going to bother you to join and, you know, harass you to you know, drink our Kool-Aid, so to speak. That's not the way we work. I want everybody in the industry to do well. And, you know, we all lift each other up, regardless of whether we're on the same boat or, you know, across the sea from each other.
Yes, and that really seems to be a common theme. I mean, we really only interview the top 1% of producers in all of Chicagoland for this podcast. Maybe one day we'll run out, but so far, not to diminish Nick's individuality, because I think this is a hallmark of Nick, of who you are. But it's a very common sort of theme with top producers. They tend to be extraordinarily generous with their time. I just thought that was really cool for you to stand up at the meeting and say anyone is welcome. And that is not a common message maybe by other firms. And you're right. There also aren't any real secrets anymore either. I mean, all is welcome. So I think that's really cool. But I do want to talk about, you know, when you got started, or rather not so much when you got started, but, you know, when it wasn't always, in particular, maybe at the beginning when the market, or rather when you were struggling, just like any new broker. Can you talk about, you know, that struggle and how you maybe overcame that?
Absolutely. As a new broker, and it was interesting, I started out a COBOL banker, again, nearly 20 years ago in Northwest Indiana, and I had a wonderful managing broker. And just a really cool, fun office environment. I still, some of my parties, office parties, I want to be like hers. She's now passed away, but just an amazing first managing broker. When I started, though, I instantly got a kind of almost a sense of panic and dread that I'm like, uh-oh, I just dropped $800 on this course and signing up, and now obviously it's well over $1,200 to sign up and join the board. But I noticed there were some ladies and gentlemen that had been there a couple months, and they had, you know, an office, they had a space and a phone and a desk, and I'm like, okay, there doesn't seem to be a lot going on at this desk. And it was very obvious that these were the people sitting and waiting for the company to do something for them.
Sure.
And I just had a, you know, again, the sense of dread that I'm like, uh-oh, I better make something happen, because it doesn't look like these people that have been here a couple months have anything going on from them through the company. And it that's when I first became, you know, a very independent contractor. It was as I figured out, wow, no brand. I don't care who, what company it is, you know, the Remax Balloon, Keller Williams, Exit, no company is going to make you your money. You're going to have to go out there and get it for yourself. And particularly in a day and age where Zillow, Trulia, and Realtor.com have the vast majority of traffic, you're not going to build a website today to beat them. And if you do, God bless you, but I haven't figured it out. I tried it. It didn't work. So, you know, you've got to go out there and network with the people. You've got to go out there and either build relationships that are stronger than these big websites, or play with the big websites and pay them, you know, for leads. Either way, your company, your brand is not going to do enough for you, except maybe give you some dessert. Your main course is always going to be what you go out there and catch for yourself. And that, sitting in that room filled with people that had been there 3 to 6 months and had not had a deal and looked very hungry, and then looking at the top producers and realizing some of them weren't even really in the office and it didn't look like they sat floor time. And I would see these piles of mail going out, so direct mail. And I'd see them at parties and networking events, but again, not sitting at their desk waiting for a lead from the company. That struck me, and that was one of the best things that I could do, was to sit there and watch and observe and realize that the company wasn't going to do anything for these guys. It was all up to the agents. And again, I was at a great office. I love my office. It was super fun. But the office wasn't putting food on people's tables. The agents' individual actions were.
Yeah, you're so right. And anyone who's had, you know, some amount of time in the industry figures that out, of course. But I suspect you share this similar grievance to mine, or is that there are a lot of firms that the way they market themselves is like, hey, we do it all for you. And, you know, and then, of course, the reality tends to be much different once you're on board. So I think you're right. And that actually leads into a really great question, which, or maybe it's not a great question, but I think it's an interesting question, which is, so, you know, what should somebody look for in a broker, a brokerage firm? You know, what are some of the things you think brokerage firms can do for their brokers?
Well, first of all, you've got to look at, you know, what that company is going to do with coaching and training. And, you know, I sit there and I go, okay, guys, first and foremost, a lot of agents run for the best commission split. And, you know, here's the issue. 100% of nothing is nothing. And sure, you've got to look for a company that's going to provide you with coaching and training. And when I say training, I don't mean here's how to fill out a contract. I mean, here's how to make your phone ring. You're opening up a business when you get your real estate license. And as you continue to build your career, your business is going to expand. And what is that company's message? Are they showing a new agent how to generate leads? Are they showing an experienced agent how to build their business and build a team? Beyond that, then the next thing I tell the people to look for, okay, what's the training? What's the technology? What is going to help me in my business? You know, we give out not only a website, but a CRM product and a Dotloop account. Everything that you're going to need to do to get that technology out there to the consumer and work with consumers. What is the message? What's the marketing of the company? You know, at our office, one of our last hires was one of our best hires, and that was a graphic designer. Is that, you know, we had marketing templates and things like that, but we really want to customize the message to the consumer for each individual agent. What's in that package? And then finally, the last question should be, and again, it's normally what the first question is out of the agent's mouth, what's the commission split? And again, I'm not even going to quote our commission splits. You can look up online and follow me on social media to find out what Exit's commission splits are. That's not what this, you know, podcast is about. But that's the last conversation you should have. And then at that point, absolutely figure out what's the best overall deal. But agents jump for odd reasons. And I think the first thing that you should be thinking about is, what can this company do to help build my business? If you're just jumping for a commission split, that says to me, that you may not have the right business mindset and you may not be generating enough leads. Because if you're looking to save money versus build more business, that's a concern for me.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think that, and then also I think if firms are promising leads, which, you know, I don't hear as much anymore, and I'm grateful for that, because I think there was a lot of that going on over a long period of time, and I think finally firms have started telling the truth more about their ability to generate leads for brokers. But I think Nick's absolutely right. Is if, you know, if you're going to join a firm, that question should be, how are you going to help me grow my business? What training? What coaching? What support? What marketing are you going to help me do to build my business? And I think you said that so well. It's, how are you going to help me grow my business? Right. But which is great. So well said. I want to step back just a little bit and ask you about, because I know you had some experience in the past and had some interesting thoughts about back when you represented asset management companies and were dealing with foreclosures. Can you talk a little bit more about that experience?
Oh yeah, this was interesting. So, you know, when I got in the market, it was what we call a balanced market. There were buyers, there were sellers. It wasn't a crazy hype. Then we get into the rising up to the bubble, when it seemed like everybody had their real estate license. You could, you know, breathe into a mirror and get a loan or 10 loans, you know, 0% down, and it was crazy. When the market crashed, to be completely frank, I crashed right along with it. I was not prepared. I was in my late 20s. I'd had a real fun time, made a six-figure income every year as a real estate agent in my 20s, and really did not fundamentally truly understand the business. And when the market crashed, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just turned 30. I just left Keller Williams for Exit Realty to get into a different business model. And I'm going, uh-oh, where am I? And I was lucky enough to trip onto a contact for an asset management company. And I knew that, you know, people were losing their homes. People couldn't, the economy was bad. It wasn't just real estate. And so I contacted this asset management company and I said, hey, I will take anything. Do you have any listings? And they're like, well, give us your experience. And luckily, because at the beginning of my career, I represented a lot of investors. I dealt with REO. I just hadn't dealt with REO as a listing agent. They gave me a couple really interesting properties. I mean, just, you know, tarps over the roof, people shooting up drugs inside. I mean, I got run out of houses by drug dealers, drug users. It was incredible, some of the stuff we saw. But I sold them, and I sold every single one of them. And then all of a sudden they started giving me nicer stuff. And that really taught me the value of a hustle. It wasn't about just driving up in a nice car anymore, because quite frankly, I couldn't afford my payments on my BMW anymore. I was driving up in whatever car would get me there, and to get me safely in and out of that property and get the property photos and inspections, and that thing sold. And that really taught me work ethic that I think I'd lost in the good years, the golden years, so to speak, of 2005 to 2007-8. I think a lot of us just got bad attitudes and bad work ethic, and that snapped me right back into waking up at 6, getting my workout in, and going out when there was light out to do new business. Obviously now that's not the way, you know, we're not having to do that as much anymore as far as going out and taking pictures and sealing up properties all day. But those of us that are hustling, and, you know, you've had some amazing talent on here already. Kate Dolan and I've worked together before. She was at Exit for a number of years. She is just a hustler. And Kate, you know, Kate Dolan, with all the money and all the numbers that she's doing now, still is getting up and getting out there early in the morning and getting things done. And, you know, now what we're doing is it's pounding the pavement online, on the phone, lead generation for 2 to 3 hours a day in the morning. And none of this like, oh, I'm an independent contractor and I'm my own boss, so I'll wake up at 11 or noon.
Right.
Those are the people that probably, A, are not going to tune into this podcast. B, aren't going to execute anything in the podcast that we tell them. And C, won't make it in the business. And it's just sad. You know, if you look at the statistics that NAR, I'm lucky enough to be on the board at CAR and at IR at the same time. And it's interesting because we see so many statistics between those two boards. And it's like, yeah, there's people making $1 million. We have, you know, a couple people in our office making 500,000 and up. We also have some people in every brand in this industry that are truly not making a living wage. And sure, a lot of it, unfortunately, is not because this is a bad business to be in. It is because they are not running their business.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if I've shared this story. I think I have on a previous episode, but it's worth repeating because I think you'll get a kick out of it. I interviewed Josh Weinberg a little bit ago, and his partner Tommy Choi, who I'm sure you know both those guys. Tommy wasn't on the call, but I was asking Josh about his goals. I said, what are your goals? Because Josh is a very goal sort of centric and value centric kind of person. And I wasn't necessarily interested in what his production goals were, but I sort of probably phrased the question incorrectly because he said, well, we don't really have those kind of goals. He said, I'll tell you what Tommy's goal is though. And you know, they're top producers. They've been in the business for a while. They are not new to the business. And he goes, Tommy's goal is to meet 365 new people in the next year. And he goes, because we know that if he does that, we will hit every other goal that we set, you know. So it really points to the fundamentals of growing your business, treating it like a business. How do I get in front of more people, tell them my story, convince them that I'm the guy to choose when they have a real estate transaction? And I just thought that was what a great message for somebody who's already doing so well to say, oh yeah, we just, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we do push-ups just like anyone else who's trying to get fit, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing different about a top producer. You know what I found in my office is, we always talk, I've got a LinkedIn blog and I say there's three different funnels of business, and you know, there's my top producers work in one, two, or all three of them, but they're not doing anything really that different. They're just consistent with the execution. Yes. And that's, you know, I love Tommy and Josh, and I think that, you know, their numbers are freaking amazing, and it's discipline. These guys, yes, we all take vacations, but these guys are machines. Kate's a machine. I'd like to think of myself as a machine, maybe squeaking sometimes, but that's it. I was just talking with somebody this morning and they're like, you know, oh my gosh, you're always working. I'm like, you know what? We're not always working. Technology allows us to work from some pretty cool places, but we're consistent and we, you know, we're on message, we're on point, and we do a good job for our clients. And that's, none of these people that you've interviewed or brought up or that I would interview or bring up have bad work ethics. They also just don't have bad ethics in general. You know, there's some people that have made these top 10 lists and these top producer lists a time or two, and then they disappear. And the reason why they disappear is, yeah, they figured out a way to make their phone ring, but would you ever call them again? You know, that's the other thing, is that in this wonderful age of technology, it's still about client service, because if you do a terrible job, the word will get out quicker than ever.
Yeah, 100% agree. Speaking of, you know, you talked about discipline and, you know, the making hay while the sun shines attitude. And obviously you have this, you live that as well as, you know, the other people we've been fortunate enough to speak to. Talk a little, and really, you are such a, you know, such a well-known trainer. Can you talk a little bit more about what else you think is really critical for a broker who either is new to the business, wants to, you know, really dive in, or just wants to take their real estate practice to the next level?
Absolutely. You know, I'll give you a couple things real quick. First of all, time block calendar. It is so hard as an agent to, you know, figure out what you want to do when and how to do it, and to kind of tune out the noise. So a time block calendar that allows you to do that. Secondly, I use something called a greatness tracker to track that 2 to 3 hours a day of lead generation you have got to get in. I can sit at a desk for 2 hours, but did I really lead generate for 2 hours? You've got to track that. The third thing is a lead tracker. Okay, if I've done a good job on my greatness tracker, my lead tracker, what am I actually bringing in? A lot of the agents, when I sit down and I coach with them from all brands, they actually do bring in, they create a lot of leads, but they don't convert the leads. So they've got an issue in their lead funnels. Then where we kind of drop off at that point, most people are talking about production. Oh, I did 12 million, I did 20 million, blah, blah, blah. What did you actually take home? I have seen very few agents that pop out a profit and loss statement to me. You know, they really kind of stop. They don't even source their deals, a lot of them, so they don't know where their deals are coming from. They just do a lot of deals. They can't articulate to me 70% came from referral, 10% came from farming, and 20% came from realtor.com and Zillow. I don't hear those numbers. And you definitely don't hear, I'm spending X, Y, Z to get or net. That is absolutely, you know, those are the really big things. And then the final thing I would say to agents to encourage them is, once you're done at the end of the day and you take home your pay, figure out a way to turn around and invest in real estate. You know, I've got my little development company on the side. You know, I've learned a lot. That was kind of a learning curve, the same way that my real estate brokerage business has been. But, you know, if you're not turning around and actively investing in real estate, how are you promoting this as such an amazing thing to the consumer? Real estate agents have some of the worst savings rates. They have some of the worst financial practices I've seen because, quite frankly, there is no retirement plan. There is no, you know, safety net. There's no health insurance. It's like, wow, we have got some right at the top of our financial day. We're not having taxes withheld. We don't get insurance and we don't have a retirement account. There's some really big roadblocks that as an industry, which is why I'm trying to promote, you know, especially through these educational seminars and things like that. You'll hear me right at the end go, okay, guys, this is all cool. Now you know how to make your phone ring more. Once you make your phone ring, could you please put something in your bank account? Because the saddest thing I've ever seen is an agent that makes, you know, a six-figure income and has nothing in their bank account. And quite frankly, I've been there. I've been that agent, and that is it is not a cool place to be, and there's no reason for it.
Yeah, it is. It's so true. I know I am shocked at how many brokers who are making a substantial living doing real estate, and when I say, hey, have you ever talked to your accountant about potentially incorporating, and obviously I can't give tax advice, but you know, you may want to look into either developing an S corporation or a C corp and just explore those opportunities because it might actually save you, you know, and they just go, yeah, I should do that. I never thought to do. And I'm like, how have you need to think to do that? And even whether it's a good idea or not, your accountant will give you some advice there. But I am shocked about the financial management part. Not shocked. I mean, I understand. It's you have to do it on your own, and it's a lot of work. But oh my gosh, you can save yourself a tremendous a headache down the road if you start to look into different options.
You really absolutely can, and I think that's so interesting that a lot of us as brokerages are not sending that message out. We just don't, and that, I'm trying to do that at my office. I'm trying to switch to that mindset to say, hey, you're an entrepreneur. Put some money away in the bank. And I think that hopefully the dialogue changes as an industry.
And at least know your deductions. And maybe at the end of the year, like you had mentioned, create a P&L statement. But also, what were your expenses? How much does it cost you per deal? What are you actually spending? And in addition to, hey, where did your revenue come from? Was it referral? Was it, leads you purchased? Was it through your sphere of influence? But knowing how much do I spend per deal is really, really important because, like you said, it's running a business. And obviously, not all of us are good at every aspect of running a business, but boy, those are really important skills to develop. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Can you talk a little bit more about your investment business? I'd like to hear more about that.
Absolutely. So, obviously my primary business is Exit, our office, and we love it and I'm excited by it. I did start to see over the last couple of years some really great investing opportunities. I had, as I said before, taken kind of a really big financial hit when the market crashed, but through the Exit residual bonus program, I started saving up and I'm like, hey, I want to invest in some real estate, not just my primary residence, but some more. And I saved up enough of our residual bonuses to turn around and start my second company, which is my development company. What I'm focused on right now is taking some bungalows on the northwest side in some really cool neighborhoods like Portage Park and basically modernizing them, keeping the best of the structure, so the vintage details, the beautiful brickwork, the facade on the outside, and turning around and making the second floor truly modern living. So that means a beautiful master suite with a huge master bath and walk-in closet and two extra large special bedrooms that you just can't get in a regular bungalow with those smaller dormered windows and things like that. It just doesn't work the same. So we're trying to bring some modernization and yet keep that beautiful bungalow, historic bungalow that we love so much in Chicago at the same time. It's been really successful. Contractors have been my main issue. A lot of you guys that are investors in the audience listening will also appreciate that. Contractors have been the worst of my experience with that, but I found a couple good ones, and we have actually our investors club at our office. We put together an investors club because so many of us as agents have tried to dabble on our own, and I'm like, hey guys, everyone's kind of making their own mistakes. Let's learn as a group. And so our investors club kind of puts people together and collaborates. We've got a coach that helps us out and teaches a little bit more about the contracting side, and it's really cool. And again, it's another aspect of the business. I don't ever want to branch out into 20 different businesses, but I think there's some basic commonalities, obviously, between, you know, a real estate agent and a real estate agent that may pick up some assets for themselves once in a while, whether it's buy and hold a property to flip.
Yeah, our owner, Nick, also named Nick, he's an active investor, and he is always shocked at that everyone who has a broker license is not out purchasing properties, or at least, you know, one investment property. He's like, I am, you know, absolutely, what a huge opportunity to learn that business, whether it becomes a full-time part of your business or just something ancillary. Nick, we have had, this has been a great, great conversation. So I want to give you two different plugs, one of which, of course, is if there's any buyers and sellers or investors or even renters out there that, you know, that are looking for to be represented, what's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Oh, it's very easy, actually. We are living in a text-based world. So if you just text my last name, L-I-B as in boy, E-R-T, so that's L-I-B, ERT to 85377. That's 85377. You will get my digital business card online. Every exit agent has one of those. You'll actually get it on your cell phone. So just text me. Second way, super easy, social media. Connect with me on social media. I'm on almost every platform. LinkedIn, I've got a blog. Instagram, I got some fun pictures everywhere. Whatever you want to do to connect, I'm at Nick Liebert everywhere. So N-I-C-K-L-I-B as in boy, E-R-T on all social media.
And also, if you're a broker out there wanting to explore exits, what they offer or some of their training opportunities, same way, should they reach out to you?
Reach out to me directly on, again, on social media, or just download my business card and we will talk to you and see if we can do something for your business. If it's not a good fit, no worries, but we got some really cool stuff going on and I'd love to talk. I always love talking real estate with agents.
Awesome. Well, Nick, thank you so much. You are an incredibly busy person. You serve on a million boards. You run an office. You have an investment business on the side, and we really appreciate your time. And this is one of the more fun conversations I've had doing this show. So thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You have a good day.